In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. This is the blessed Sabbath, great and holy Saturday. It's a day when, in the beginning, God rested on the seventh day, and respecting his own law, on this holy Saturday, he rested in the tomb on the seventh day. And this day, Holy Saturday, actually connects the events of the cross on Holy Friday and the event of the resurrection on Easter morning, the day of Sunday. And to many of the baptized, the real nature and the real meaning of the relationship of this middle day remains obscure. Many churchgoers think that the most important days are Holy Friday and the day of the resurrection. The jump, however, from the cross to the resurrection is incongruous. There's an abrupt leap from sorrow to joy, and that's not natural. That's not natural. And our liturgy expresses this in her tradition. The church shows us something different. There's a slow movement from the events, the traumatic events of Good Friday, and the overwhelming, incomprehensible events of the resurrection. There's a movement. There's a transition. And this is what our church teaches us. The movement from the cross to the resurrection was not simply, oh, he died, and they replaced that death and that sorrow with now the joy and the resurrection of the gospel. No, that's not what happened. That's not what our Lord God did. Instead, on this day already, through the liturgy, centuries-old liturgy, proclaims something that's happening today. The God-man has gone down into Hades, and what begins is the trampling of death itself. Even before the resurrection, an event occurred where sorrow is not simply replaced by joy. No, what is happening today is this event is being transformed into joy. Victory is emerging out of what appears as a defeat. Indeed, before the event of the resurrection, before tomorrow night and Sunday morning, the church is already contemplating this night, tomorrow, how death itself is being defeated by death. Such is the significance and such is the meaning of tonight's liturgy. It's Orthros, it's Holy Saturday morning prayer. That's the meaning of this liturgical service. The liturgy of Holy Saturday is celebrating the saving and transforming power of Christ, who's gone down into Hades. He's gone down into Sheol, that place that the ancients called the place of utter darkness, the place of utter despair, the place that just simply sucked out life, poisoned it, and the Lord goes right into it. And what's he going to do? He's going to trample this darkness. He's going to trample this death. Jesus the Christ by now has been taken down from that Roman cross. And thus begins what we call the burial service. We stand this night at the grave of our Lord. When you walked out and went around and you had to duck under the tomb, under the burial, it's a sign of you going down into the tomb with Christ this night. We're going down there with our Lord, and we're going to wait. We're going to watch what's going to happen. We're going to contemplate his death. And we're going to contemplate the defeat. We today, this night, if we've taken this seriously the last 24 hours, we stand in horror at what the entire human race did to the God-man. We stand in horror at what's transpired the last 24 hours. We stand in shock, disbelief. We know the end of the story, but take yourself back to Peter and James and John. Is it any wonder they scattered and ran away? They hid, they wept. They were confused. The entire world rejected the one whom they thought was the Messiah. They saw his miracles. They saw him multiply loaves. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him give hearing to those who are deaf, speech to those who are mute. And he's dead. He's in a tomb. 3 years they gave their lives to this man. He's gone. They left their livelihoods to follow this man. They left their families to follow this man. He's gone. It's over. And they go. And they go and hide. And they're in shock. Their own leaders rejected him. This is the church's meditation tonight, as our Lord goes into Hades. One of the lamentations of tonight's liturgy captures very well the grief of the church. I quote, "O all ye mountains and hills, and all ye gatherings of men, mourn, weep, lament with me, the mother of your God." And yet, though we are confronted with this grief, the person, the baptized person with a lived faith, while experiencing sorrow, we also at the same time cleave to the words of the psalmist. Blessed are those who walk in the blameless way of life, who walk in the law of the Lord. Our Lord fulfilled that sentence. No one else was able to walk blamelessly in the law of the Lord perfectly but our Lord God Jesus the Christ. And so while at one glance tonight may seem like a funeral liturgy, are the prayers and the hymns of our liturgy tonight tell us differently. They tell us that no, our Lord, who was faithful unto death to his Father in heaven, our Lord is faithful to his own words that he spoke to the psalmist, will live again. Because the law of God does not take life away. The law of God gives life. The law of God is always creative. Jesus the Christ, the only beloved Son, was absolutely faithful to the law, his own law. He perfectly fulfilled his own law. And because of his fidelity, he renders death powerless. In fact, as we sing in the next few weeks, he tramples upon death. The fathers of the church often depict this event of Christ going into Hades, Christ going into death, as a great duel between death and Satan and Christ himself. And that duel develops in three stages. At first, it seems like the forces of evil are triumphant. The righteous one is crucified. He's abandoned by everybody. And he dies on the cross. It's a shameful death at that. No other form of torture and humiliation was ever formed but by the Romans, who put men on the cross to humiliate them and to scare everybody else into being obedient to the Roman emperor. And on top of that, where does our Lord end up? In Hades, the place of darkness, the place of despair. But this very moment, the real meaning of death is revealed. And Jesus the Christ, because he does not receive life from anyone or anything, it doesn't come from the outside. You and I receive our life from God. Everything in the world receives its life from God. But the Lord Jesus, he's the source of life. He's the giver of life. He's the essence of life. And so when the God-man goes into Hades, death can't overcome him. It can't take it from him. Because yes, while he has a human nature, he is also the immortal, holy God. And as we saw a few nights ago, as we saw on Lazarus Saturday a week ago, death itself shakes and trembles in the presence of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ. This is what the church is meditating upon and contemplating this night and tomorrow on the great and holy Sabbath. And so how did our liturgy move? The first troparion speaks of death, and the second troparion speaks of the resurrection. The noble Joseph took down from the tree your spotless body and wrapped it in the pure linen with spices and laid it for burial in a new tomb. That's where we began. And then we moved into the second troparion. When you descended to death, O immortal life, you put Hades to death by the splendor of your divinity. And when you raised the dead from below the earth, all the heavenly powers cried out to you, O giver of life, Christ our God, glory to you. Christ is among us.
protection for gifts and remission of sins, for the servants of God who live in this city.
Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, God, we pray for the blessed ever to be remembered, founders of this holy church, and for Orthodox fathers and brethren who come before us, and who hear us when I sleep in the Lord.
Yara, Burham, Yara, Burham, Yara, Burham.
Lord, you are merciful, God, and you love mankind, and we render glory to you, our Son and Spirit, now and always and forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us begin our morning prayer to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Save us and mercies and protect us, O God, by your grace.
Lord, have mercy.